Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your rogue starfighter captain, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and even I get bored sometimes.
My name's Matt Clunky Arnold.
Just like your intros.
And I'm very excited about today.
Let me just say, I've been waiting for this episode for a long time.
Well, tell your boss.
What we're doing this week? I don't have the story with me.
What we're doing this week is we're doing the story of Matt Clunky.
We're doing Pokemon.
So Disney Plus came out. Big deal. Everyone got on it. Everyone and their kids getting on it. There was also on Disney Plus the old Star Wars movies, episodes 4, 5, and 6.
And you remember those, right? You guys know Star Wars, right?
You know Star Wars?
Y'all know Star Wars?
I mean, I know the first one, the good one. What's the first one?
Phantom Menace?
Yeah. The first one, number one.
There you go. Okay. So episode 4, people are watching through it, and they know this. Eagle-eyed viewers know this, that a particular scene early on between Han Solo and, a bounty hunter going after him.
You by guess.
The name of Greedo, has been changed yet again. This scene has been altered and tweaked pretty much every time these movies have come out.
Han Solo is the iconic dashing space smuggler in Star Wars. He has a very iconic scene in A New Hope where he most famously, in the original version of the movie, cold-bloodedly shoots this guy who's about to kill him, a wimpy bounty hunter named Greedo, who's a goofy little green alien, our favorite type of alien here at Story Break HQ. And then in the redux recut of it in the 1990s when they re-released the movies, our benevolent overlord George Lucas in his infinite wisdom decided, you know what? Han Solo looks like too bad a guy. I'm going to have Greedo shoot at him first, and then Han Solo is going to do a little wiggle dodge, and then he's going to shoot. And then it touched off a firestorm of controversy.
It's a big deal, for sure. The argument is that it primarily changes Han Solo's defining characteristic from he's introduced as a guy who's willing to shoot first and preemptively kill somebody to save his own skin, as opposed to just a guy who kills somebody in self-defense.
Well, I will also say it is like, because there are tons of edits in the special edition that did not provoke this kind of backlash, but this is like about, as far as Star Wars goes, this is changing the smile on the Mona Lisa. This is like one of the most iconic moments for one of the most iconic characters.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so anyway, we all thought we were done with Greedo Gate. We all thought we were done with Han Shot First. We all thought we had learned to live with it. But then, like a horror movie villain coming back to life one more time, we all discovered when we booted up Star Wars on Disney Plus that now Greedo draws his gun on Han Solo, says, I've been waiting for this a long time. Han Solo says, yes, I'll bet you have. And then before either of them fire, Greedo now says, McClunky, and then shoots at Han, and Han shoots at him and kills him.
Yes.
And now the question is, what the fuck does McClunky mean?
Why does it change that scene? And also a very important point as we get into this. Greedo does not speak English. He speaks, He speaks Rodian. So in order for the audience to understand what Greedo is saying, they do a very kind thing where they put what are called subtitles at the bottom of the screen that translate what he is saying. However, for some strange reason, McClunky is not translated. So not only did they add a new line from Greedo, they left it open to interpretation as to what it is.
They declined to explain what he was saying.
Usually that happens when, a person says something in a different language that's just like
an exclamation.
It puts it in the realm of like, what did Bill Murray whisper to Scarlett Johansson at the end of Lost in Translation? Maybe he whispered McClunky.
That's why I think people love it, because it's treated as if it's just like, an expletive or something.
All right.
But then McClunky sounds like a name. So then it makes it feel like, is he referring to something? Okay.
At any rate, here's what I think really captures the zeitgeist and why it has become the subject of today's Story Break, McClunky the movie, is that Greedo's like the ultimate Star Wars also-ran character, right? Like, he shows up in this very famous scene. He's really bad at his job. He's kind of goofy looking.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, what's Greedo's deal? And now, like, what more element of mystery has been added to the Greedo canon? Yeah. McClunky. Who was McClunky? What was McClunky? Why did he say McClunky?
And then just one last little thing to throw in is that fans have gone through the other Star Wars movies, and they found that Sebulba says McClunky in The Phantom Menace. They believe it's to roughly translate to, this will be the end of you. So the idea is that Greedo's kind of throwing a one-liner that's so well-known and so obvious that doesn't even need a translation. That could be it, but I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
So,
what do you think McClunky is?
So at any rate, this is why we're doing the Greedo movie, basically, is what we're talking about. Because Greedo's this enigmatic character. This seems like the appropriate window into his psyche. We're diving in. It's the Greedo movie, McClunky, today on Story Break. Let's go. The clock starts now.
Okay. But as we're doing a Greedo movie, it does feel like we need to really tackle what is,
because it's McClunky.
This is Rosebud for Greedo. I mean, this is his final word. Like, this is like, if you're going to work backwards, like, this is the final thing this character says in his life.
You see, it's not Rosebud because he knows he's about to die when he says Rosebud. He's in the throes of death. Greedo thinks he's in this exultant moment of triumph when he says McClunky. I'm going to take us on a journey to the Wikipedia page.
Yes.
For McClunky.
The best website. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. And we're going to walk through a little bit of the Wikipedia page for everyone's favorite, most radical Rodian. Originally hailing from the swamp planet of Rodia, during his youth, that's right, he's in Tatooine and knows Anakin Skywalker is a kid. I forgot about that.
Oh, wait, that one in Greedo?
Yeah, that's Greedo. Originally hailing from the swamp planet of Rodia, during his youth, Greedo relocated and lived on the desert planet of Tatooine.
Okay.
After the slave boy Anakin Skywalker won the famous Bunta Eve classic, beating the renowned...
Wait, that's Greedo?
The renowned Dug Racer Sebulba, Greedo jumped to the conclusion that he had cheated. Angered by the false accusation, Skywalker consequently found himself entangled in a fight with young Rodian. Wald, whoever that is, warned Greedo that if he continued to pick on fights, he would eventually have a bad end. Maybe that's the bad end that the term McClunky refers to. So yes, this was a deleted scene. This is a Star Wars podcast, this episode. If you haven't seen Star Wars, you don't like Star Wars, throw the podcast out your window.
I've not heard this.
There is a deleted scene in The Phantom Menace where they reveal that they just see Anakin in a fight with the little Rodian kid.
Yeah.
And you find out that this kid is Greedo because Anakin's they're like, if you don't stop picking on kids, Greedo, you're going to have a bad end. Right?
You're fucking kidding
and you're like,
me?
Ah, yes, the Greedo backstory I was looking for.
Ah, yes, the arc, the circuit is now complete.
I mean, good lesson for kids, like bully other kids, you get shot by Han Solo. Like...
25 years later.
It looks like then he has a criminal career working for Jabba the Hutt as a mercenary. At one point, he captures Figrin Don and the Modal Knowns, a.k.a. the band that was playing in the cantina. I feel like if I was the guy, Figrin Don, and I saw my captor wander, and I'd be a little awkward about that.
Wouldn't pass a tip jar around, certainly.
Yeah, so he was hired to... Yeah, he's just like, you know, he's like a
shitty bounty hunter.
He's a shitty kid.
Who became a shitty bounty hunter. He was shitty in negotiations and he died. So
that's where we're at.
Okay.
It's like a bad Goodfellas.
George Lucas, 7 years ago, stared at his masterpiece.
Ask a question?
And thought, I need to change this.
Here's a question.
What?
Do you think that McClunky was part of the original lines recorded?
Yes, it must have been.
Or do you think that... They're like, you know, right? Did they go through the library to find the line, or did they have to bring someone in to be like, we got an extra line we'd like you to read? Go ahead. It's rolling.
What happens if it was George Lucas? Like, it was his voice.
That's neither here nor there.
That's just a little bit
of idle speculation. A little mind dagger to keep you waking.
Put McClunky down for just a second.
Oh,
put the
so
McClunky
enticing.
Down.
Okay.
Put the McClunky down for just a second.
Okay.
You're doing a movie about Greedo. What kind of movie is it? What kind of story do you want to tell about Greedo? He is this low-level goon who never really amounts to anything and dies this ignoble death.
Yeah, so like working from backwards, like it feels like it could be like a crime noir. It's a tragedy.
Double
Indemnity.
Somebody
who cared about nothing. He had one thing he cared about. It's like Miller's Crossing. It's like as a criminal, you're supposed to be emotionless, but like again, in Miller's Crossing, the secret is that he loves his boss. And it's like that's the one thing that makes him do something. Again, he spares somebody's life because he feels emotion for once. Like McClunky is his ultimate downfall. If Greedo just stayed emotionless, he could survive in this world of crime. That's the ultimate tragedy. It's like the same thing that makes him human is the same thing that kills him in the end, because there's one thing he cared about.
McClunky.
Clearly it's the one thing that George Lucas cared about 7 years ago.
Okay.
I think McClunky is a person.
I mean, if it's not a person, there's not a lot to go on. If it's just like it's like a city, he's like, that's like where he buried his treasure.
Okay.
Uncharted
his
5.
I don't know why he's giving that to Han Solo before he dies.
What if Greedo is like a weird Dexter-esque serial killer and he has to say the word McClunky to every one of his victims? Think about that. Really changes that whole scene, doesn't it?
It does. Here's the other thing. All right. If we're going to... Oh, boy. This is going to be a weird one. I can already tell. It does seem like... Here's maybe an irony. It does... Like, now when you watch it, if Greedo had just shot him, if he had not said McClunky, Han Solo would be dead. Yeah. Right? Because Greedo has him, and then Han Solo gives him enough time. It used to be one thing, like, it's like yes. they both realize this is happening, and they both shoot each other at the same time. Now, Greedo makes a choice to say McClunky instead yes. of just pulling the trigger, right?
Which means it's important for him to say it to Han. He wants Han Solo to hear these words.
Agreed, yes.
McClunky, before he dies, is important to him.
This is why I don't buy the, like, it'll be the death of you. Meaning,
I don't buy
right?
it. No. I don't buy
I
it.
I don't buy Yes, I'm sure maybe the guy's name, whoever McClunky was, it sounds like the thing Sebulba said.
Also, it seems a little racist to imply that Sebulba and Greedo speak the same language just because they're both little weird aliens. Like, they're from totally different planets. I don't buy it.
Okay, so, and it's also, because it's also like you, why would you, like, if I'm going to shoot somebody, I don't say, like, and now I am going to shoot you, yeah. right? Like, the like he already did that when he yeah. said, I've been waiting for this for a long time, yeah. right?
It all feels right. like all a mob hit, you know?
Yeah, it's like throwing the roses or whatever.
Like, maybe it's not even a name. It could be a phrase in Rodian, but it does feel like, yeah, this is for the roses or something like that. It's like a,
okay,
it's a
so,
message.
But here's my problem with it's a person and he's getting revenge mm-hmm. is why all the preamble about I'm here to because of Jabba? Right? Like, if I just wanted to get revenge on Han Solo, why do I go through all this rigmarole about, like, oh, I'm here because Jabba wants
We've
you, right?
established that Greedo is dumb. He's not very good at his job. He's trying to know what maybe what it is the scene right before this is Greedo in front of the mirror being like, all right, ignore the Jabba stuff. Just go straight to McClunky. This is what, and he's like, he's reciting. He's got note cards because he's a very nervous speaker. And then he gets down and he gets all nervous. He's like, but Jabba wants to talk to you. And then he realizes he's about to die. He's like, oh shit, what was I supposed to say? McClunky. And then he dies. You know, he's just a nervous boy. He just didn't remember what to say.
He's trying to confess his love to Han Solo, but he doesn't know how to say McClunky, which means I adore you in Rodian. So he's just like kind of doing a preamble. But really, is it Jabba who wants him or is it Greedo's heart?
Maybe this will knock something loose. Here's another little plot point about Greedo. This is from the fan from Wikipedia. As a boy, Greedo was noted for his temper and tendency to pick fights with others, which his friend Wald. Oh, yes, we haven't talked about Wald, his buddy.
Yeah.
Has said warned him would lead him into trouble. In adulthood, Greedo was overconfident and slow on the uptake and something of a poor shot with a blaster. He thought himself, I love Greedo. I fucking love this guy. He thought highly of himself as a big time bounty hunter due to his employment to Jabba the Hutt, though others saw him as unremarkable. He was a frequent customer of Chalmun's Cantina, considering it his base of operations and preferred venue for death deals. He was known for his rotten luck, and that proved true for the main time of his life. So, unlucky. He is looking pretty dumb with a finger in
all that
thumb.
Lore is definitely written after he changed it. That's why the change is dumb, because it goes from Han Solo brutally kills a badass bounty hunter who's taking him out to Han Solo meets a fumbling overconfident idiot who can't hit him with a blaster. So cool. That's the way I introduced my Indiana Jones character.
At any rate, this is the Greedo we're dealing with, right? What if Greedo is, okay, hold on. What about this? Hear me out. It's Groundhog Day meets Star Wars.
Oh my God.
And what you do, holy shit. It's the last day of Greedo's life, right? And he has to, that's why the versions keep changing.
Oh my God.
He has to relive it again and again and again because the Force is trying to teach him to become a better person.
This Groundhog's Day. It's Greedo's Groundhog's Day. Every single one. He keeps trying to shoot. He tries to shoot first. He tried to shoot first.
Yes.
You saw what happened.
Well, so yes, you open the movie and it's Greedo. It's from Greedo's POV and he walks in and then fucking Han Solo blasts. It's just the day leading up to his death, right? And it's like Happy Death Day. And then Han Solo blasts him and he dies. And then he wakes up and it's the same day again. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then you do. Yes, he's caught in a force loop that is like.
It's a force temporal loop. Yes.
And he's like, okay. I have to kill Han Solo to close the loop. That's the only way.
Okay. To play along with this, Groundhog's Day is very funny.
He's kind of like Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day. He's a fucking asshole.
You honestly need different versions because it's like.
What? Oh, yeah. We can see all the crazy versions.
Like he does like try to blast him as he runs in here. This still gets to the main question, which at the end of the day, it still implies. That what is so the key to figuring this out then is skin. Why does he choose? What is different about McClunky? Now is an active choice. Now he's done this many times and he's like,
maybe
this
McClunky
time,
is Rodian for I accept death. Like he's like, you know what I mean? Like it's over. It's done. He's tried so many.
And then when he says, I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Oh, okay. He wants to leave this mortal coil finally. Yeah. He's been
Rodians can't die.
Oh, that's oh, you,
no, no, no. Shouldn't be Rodians can't die. It's a curse.
You
could
do this kind of thing too, where it's like the Force is like, no. Han Solo needs to live so that life, light can balance out, life can thrive.
Han
in
Solo needs to live so that we can kill him in the ninth movie for the.
It's also meta to George Lucas, because if you believe like you know various reports, is like this sincerely bought like this sequence. Like it seems like George Lucas has sincere problems as an artist with New Hope. Again, he directed this one. Mm-hmm. This is like one of his big movies, and he's very. Again, people say like he's constantly tinkering with it because he just can't let it go. He's Greedo in this. Like, again, the same way that, and then the one thing he changes the most is this one scene, which clearly bothers him. Because, like, you know, whatever you want to say, like, he made these movies primarily for kids. It clearly bothers him that Han Solo, this hero for children, like, murdered this guy in cold blood. And yeah. He also listens to fans. So he keeps tinkering. He's trying to solve the impossible, which is do something that you know, makes him happy with his own art while appeasing the fans. It's never going to happen. I think what is telling is that he's a big, right? He's a guy who seemed to think a lot of himself, is what you're saying in the past.
Yes.
He's overconfident, but he's dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, he's overconfident. He's actually pretty clumsy. He's not the hotshot he thinks he is. He's kind of failed his way upwards to being a Jabba the Hutt bounty hunter, but clearly nobody else thinks he's that great. It's like, he's persistent and he's stuck around, which is kind of what he ends up doing here. He just keep trying again and again to make this death something like he doesn't want to die. Mm-hmm. So, like, it feels like it points to an element of, like, insecurity and a lack of kind of self-awareness of who he is. There's a lack of self-love, a lack of understanding, and... Yes, for whatever reason, he died. Han Solo got the better of him. Something that he thought would never, ever happen. He died, but he didn't just die. Now he's forced to relive this, you know, this humiliation again and again. No matter what he does, he can't beat Han Solo.
No matter what he does, Han Solo winds up killing him.
Yeah.
Yes. He's like, all right, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to show up at the canteen at all. I'm staying in bed today. And somehow still, through whatever zany contrivance, yes. Han Solo winds up killing him.
What is it that he should be doing instead? Because it feels like the arc of that story.
Yeah, because Groundhog's Day is about like Bill Murray becomes a better person, right?
Yes, and what it feels like here is like he needs to, again, the tragedy and what would make it effective is like the turning point would be him realizing what he was giving up in this pursuit, and he gets it, and still the day resets. And it's like, you're right, that could have been your life, but that's not what it was. And it's still, he needs to get to the element of like he's content with understanding the failures and the mistakes he's made, the life that he could have had, the life he did have. And at the end of the day, he, you know, he died. He has to accept his own death. And it's nice that he gets to see a piece of what could have been if he, you know, put down the bounty hunter and, you know, stayed home and had a family or whatever the other thing he would have rather have done. And like, you think like, oh, this is going to be the story. And so be like, no, but like the day still restarts because that's not what happened. Because Han Solo needs to kill Greedo. Like that is what's happened.
Oh,
this time.
So it is like, it's like Groundhog Day rules where if he goes to sleep, he wakes up and it's the day again.
Yes.
Right. So yes, you would do, but it's tragic, right? Because he's like, he can't. So then it's like, I have to kill Han Solo.
Yes.
That's the only way through this.
Yes.
Right. Like,
and he keeps getting and then he could get an element where you see what like pleasant days he has and he keeps hanging on to those new ones. And then, yes, maybe somebody comes like, you can't just like, again, it's just you're reliving a lie. Like, this isn't your life. Like, you have to, Han Solo has to kill Greedo. No matter how often you change this little fact, Han Solo has to kill you. Or, again, the bounds of the Force is off. Like, this is important. Otherwise, Luke Skywalker dies and the Death Star is not blown up and the entire universe is destroyed by the Empire or whatever. Right? Because that was what would happen if Han Solo died.
Yeah. So you would do.
I think that they wouldn't found a cooler guy. You know what I mean?
Actually, never mind. Greedo's psych. We found there's a guy way cooler than Han Solo, like in the next seat. So, like, if you killed him, they would have just been like, shit, I guess we need a new pilot. And the new pilot was Lando Calrissian.
Which is Dash Rendar.
Dash Rendar.
Greedo Groundhog Day is very fun, right? Sanity check. This is fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, at least it's different.
Yes, no one they mean.
So I like it. It's like, you know, the other one, it's like, you know, whatever. It's a Greedo is a criminal and he's in a noir and he falls in love with a girl made Clunky and then Han Solo kills her. And then the final moment, he says her name and he dies.
McClunky being like.
Fanfiction.com.
We're trying to make Wikipedia, not Star Wars fanon.
Yeah, we're trying to make a movie that Scorsese would be like,
This sucks.
This sucks. This is cinema and it sucks.
This is cinema, but it's bad cinema.
This is not a good roller coaster.
This fails as a roller coaster and as a movie.
I'd rather Scorsese say I made bad cinema than a good roller coaster. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
So, yes, what's the arc of his journey?
And where does it restart? Is it like Groundhog's Day? Is it like the beginning
of right there in the morning.
Maybe he wakes up in the cantina.
I love the idea that one time
he wakes up in the cantina, like boozed out, like, ugh. And it's like,
it's like they seem to only play this song ever, over and over again.
Yeah.
He should do.
Oh, you have the scene where he's like, because he's stuck in this loop, he gets really good at the jizzophone or whatever the fuck they have called. Like, I forget what it's called in the thing. But he just starts
killing Han Solo.
Yeah, Han Solo comes in, Greedo's just ripping the jizzophone solo, and it's like, Jesus, dude.
Or like the moment Luke comes in.
If you're doing that one, then he's like having a great time playing in the jizz band, and then like Han Solo kills another bounty hunter, and then a ricochet kills Greedo.
Or sometimes he doesn't even die. He just like goes to bed and wakes up, and it's still there. Like he just starts like he comes oh, in, he's yeah, like yeah. he's like, you're Luke Skywalker, yeah, you want me to Han Solo, hey, you guys are gonna agree on this price, all right? He just shoots himself in the head. He's like, ah, he's like, I'm crazy, fucking get me out of this hell loop. Okay. You should do one where he wakes up really early and he runs to the cantina and he plants a big bomb in it. He's like, I'm just gonna blow this whole place up, I'm gonna kill everybody including Han Solo. And then sure enough, it's like he's like getting ready to press the detonator, and like I don't know, I just imagine him getting ran over by Han Solo because like Han Solo saw the bomb and is like running away. But yeah, it's just like whatever he does, he gets killed.
He could do a thing where he's like says something to two people with like not a kid yet, and it's Rey's parents.
Rey's parents are Greedo.
Rey's parents are here. Is Rey on Tatooine in the beginning?
No, it's Jakku.
It's Jakku. It's another desert planet.
Another desert planet.
All right. Anyway. No more Star Wars. What's the deal? Does
gas
Yoda
planets.
Have a wiener stuff?
Well, now you brought that up. Now I got Wikipedia.
All right. No. We have to figure out the movie. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not yes ending here. I apologize, Freddie. What was your riff about gas planets?
No, you got a better one. What if Yoda had a
All right. Act one.
Fire my two co-hosts.
So Greedo wants respect, right? Greedo gets shit on by everyone, and he acts like a big shot, right?
Yeah. And he takes like the bargain basement bounties.
He acts like a big shot. Everyone thinks he's a joke. You probably do some character who actually likes Greedo for who they are, right?
Watto, yes.
So there's someone who actually likes Greedo for who they are. This is like the Greedo, you should spend time with this person, not these jerks that you seek desperately to get the approval of, right?
Yeah, I feel like you definitely have him connecting with Jabba the Hutt.
Oh,
because
like,
Jabba's there on the planet, like, so it'd be good. Like, I feel like that's also where you get a sense of like how he thinks of himself, how the other bounty hunters think of him. What is like again? What is his professor?
This is
like,
hostile workplace.
Yeah.
And then Salacious Crumb's like, Greedo, I like you for who.
I mean,
you
not
are.
All pity. It's like Greedo definitely starts off like an asshole. Like Greedo's a big jerk who's punching Anakin and shit. Like when he's a kid, like he's an asshole. He sucks. Greedo sucks. Like he's just start off as sucking.
Yeah.
It's not just like everybody's mean to him. It's everybody's mean to him because of a big asshole who thinks he's hot shit when he's not.
Okay, so we got the hostile workplace. We got people thinking he's a joke. All right, so you're going to do essentially, like, we see this little mini act of he's like, ooh, yes, the Han Solo's in town, right?
Yeah.
He gets hip to the fact that Han Solo's in town.
Yes.
Or if I take down this bounty hunter, everyone will know that I'm fucking cool.
Yes.
Gets killed instead. That's your first act, more or less. We'll get the lay of the land. We got to come up with like what the emotional relationship is. Like, who's the Andy McDowell who is, you know, Bill Murray, right?
Yes.
Like, we're going to have to figure that out.
Jabba? He's really doing this because he loves Jabba.
I think Salacious Crumb. Crumb is like, hey, you've been
Salacious
here.
Crumb's like not
it's
even
that,
like
that weird droid that tortures the other droids.
Oh Salacious, God, yeah.
Salacious Crumb's like right. Didn't Mandalorian essentially make it clear that those creatures are like barely sentient because they're treated like chickens? They're just cooked alive.
But
so
that's
pretty
why,
weird.
That's why he can perceive rifts in the time plane.
All right, so that's weird though, because like Salacious Crumb is clearly sentient enough to laugh at things that are objectively funny.
That's true.
Like,
it's
like they say man
humor.
Is the animal who laughs, right? Like the like if you know like that like I feel like that's definitely like no they know that like.
It's like cooking like chicken or a cow. Like they all have cows have like personalities.
Yeah, but cows don't laugh at jokes, right? Like if I told a hilarious zinger, like a cow's not going to laugh along and be like,
Salacious
"That's funny."
Crumb didn't laugh at a joke. He laughed when somebody died.
Yeah, but still, like even that takes even more work to get, right?
Cows,
like that's
yeah, that's
cows,
mortality.
Cows
that's
laugh,
an understanding of like
Do Cows Laugh seems like the title of like my self-help book. Do Cows Laugh by Matt Arnold.
And
a
other,
book of poetry.
And other questions about life.
Yes.
And other things I think about on the John by Dave Barry. All right. So he basically act two is your standard, like what the fuck act, right? End of act two is like, I have to kill Han Solo, right? Act three, he's trying to kill Han, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to kill Han, he's forced to admit that he's not great.
Yes.
Right? Because he sucks at it, right?
Yes.
So eventually, he's going to be like, I suck at killing Han. I need your help. And then the person whose help he gets is going to teach him to be like, most of a bad person, right? Or he's just going to learn. Maybe he learns the wrong thing and then rejects it or something like that, right?
Yes.
Needs help, right? You know, has to admit he sucks, etc. Grows as a person. Does he kill Han Solo?
What's like the dark version of Groundhog? Because it's like you could do like as Groundhog's Day, so like he finds some emotional thing he wants, or is that like the John Wick of Groundhog's Days? It's like his high point is like he's a badass who kills Han Solo and he comes back and he murders Jabba and has a cool fight scene and he gets like $1 billion and he's like, fuck yeah, like I've completed my arc. And then he wakes up the next day and he's a loser again. And it's like, well, like I don't know. Like I'm just trying to think like, is he redeemable? Like, and if so, how?
Oh, exactly actually, why? I like that. I like that he kills Han.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has, like, he gets what he wants.
Yeah.
And then, yes, you would do, the punchline is, no, you're still trapped in this
loop. Still trapped.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. And you essentially do, oh, it could be like a, you know, spoilers for Jacob's Ladder. It could be like a Jacob's Ladder thing at the end.
Oh, this is all spoiler. As I've never been, seen Jacob's Ladder. What
I've
happened?
I've spoiled Jacob's Ladder about 12,000 times on our respective podcasts.
I'm just saying that whatever that movie or story should, it should have a better name because Jacob's Ladder doesn't tell me much.
Let's say it's like Incident at Owl Creek Ridge. Is that what it's called? Where the guy...
Yeah, it's the one of... It's all
the guy's going to get hung, and then he has the whole fantasy about escaping, and
he's
still dead.
I think that was the first movie to win Best Short Film at Oscars or whatever. Is that the same as Jacob's Ladder?
I haven't even seen Jacob's Ladder, but I'm pretty sure it's like the guy's dead in Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, I see.
But okay, so what I was going to say is... he's trying to kill Han. Okay, yeah, so yes, what you do is like you could do that. Like he really did. Han shot first. That's the ultimate Star Wars nerd flex. Like doesn't matter how many times you try to spin this, you know, George Lucas. It's like Han shot first. And not only did Han shoot first in the movie, he also shot first in real life in 1977. And there's nothing you can do to change that, right?
Oh, you know.
So what I'm saying is that this is all Greedo needs to accept that he has died and move on and become one with the Force. You know, like this is his karma. Mm-hmm. Like he's working through this loop. He's almost like a ghost. Like he's refusing to let go.
You know, it'd be a fun thing is like in that because like it reminds me of like the John Henry story, which I always bring up. It's like the lesson is like, no, man can't compete with the machine because he died. Like, yeah, he won and died. The machine didn't die. Like the same thing with like Groundhog's Day. Like the lesson should be like when he finally kills Han, if there was some, you know, ghost, some Jedi ghost, he'd be like, haha, I did. He's like, again, let's take a step back. It took you 1,000 days. Which is for like it took you like 20,000 days, which is 90 years, in order to kill Han Solo. That's the real way to think about this. It would have taken you an extra 92 years to get good enough to kill Han Solo. He was better than you, buddy. You lost. That's how long it took you to get
good.
You suck. It took you a long time, and you don't. Yeah, the end. Like you're bad at your job. You're not as good as Han Solo. Just accept that. Oh, and then he dies.
Coming to it, so that is kind of the opposite of Groundhog's Day, whereas. Right, like coming to an acceptance of this is your ultimate fate and being at one with that is philosophically very different than Groundhog's Day, which sort of has an implicit reward structure in it. In that,
if only I had more time to learn how not to be an asshole. It's like, well, no, just apologize for being an asshole and fix it. You don't get 1,000,000 days to fix being an asshole. So, like, you're not as good as Han Solo because it took you a long time. It's like, it'd be like, it's like the Fraser. It's like you play chess with somebody 1,000 times and they finally beat you. He's like, haha, I won. It's like, yeah, it took you 1,000 times to beat me.
Okay. All right. At any rate. So it's like, he kills Han, right? And then you do that. He like, you know, gets to enjoy all of the stuff that, you know, like he has this night where again, like he's the toast of town. He's got all the credits and he's going around being a jerk and blah, 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 blah. And he passes out at the end of the night. And sure enough, he wakes up back in his bed again the next day. And he's like, what the fuck? No. Right?
Yes. Oh, okay. You could even do the arc could even be, it's almost like a short film, but like the arc could even be that he could keep doing that. He could find it. He's like, all right, whatever. I guess I got to do something more after I kill Han Solo. He kills Han Solo. He keeps having these these rad parties every night, but then they start getting hollow because it's like, all right, I kill Han Solo again. I have another rad party where everybody loves me, and I wake up. Now it's the same shit over and over again because it doesn't get to the center problem.
It's just, yes.
It reminds me, again, it's like my favorite. It's like, I think it's the fourth Black Cauldron where it's like it all comes down to, again, similar to like what they wanted to do with Rey, but it's like, it's this, again, this kid's like, who am I? Like, nothing makes him happy. And the answer is like, he finally just sees it in a puddle of water. And it's just a mirror. It's like, that's the answer. It's like, you are you. Like, there's nothing more to, yes. There's nothing more to your story. Like, you are who you are. Like, you're either going to be happy with that.
You are the reason you're unhappy.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. You're either going to be happy with that or you're never going to be happy. Like, it is, like, that's the only answer. So it's like, Greedo is like, again, whether he kills Han, whether he becomes a badass, whether everybody respects him, like, it doesn't ultimately solve the problem, which is he just does not accept who he is. Like, he's looking for other people to validate himself. Yeah. And that's McClunky is the I am who I am.
Well, again, so McClunky allegedly means this will be the end of you, right?
But maybe he's referring to himself.
Oh, he's talking to himself.
He's like, because maybe that was something someone told him, like his friend Wald back in the day.
Oh,
this will
be the end of you.
This will be the end of you. This is your fate, Greedo. Like, this is who you are. And then when he says McClunky at the end, he knows he's going to get
shot. It's an acceptance of fate. Yeah. It is.
And it cuts to black like the end of The Sopranos. And you're like, did he get killed? Did he make it? What happened? But we know.
Yeah.
And we add him in as a ghost.
At the end of Return of the Jedi.
At Han Solo's death in episode 7. Han Solo dies and Greedo's like, I've been waiting for you, old friend.
There's a way to essentially be like, the reality of it is he's a criminal and he's a bad guy. He dies a criminal's death. That is the moral lesson of this universe. If you are a criminal and you kill people and you're a bounty hunter, you die. You don't get a pretty funeral at the end.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Sopranos die. Like, he dies. Whatever he wants to, but it's like the idea is that it's over. Like, there is that's the lesson. It's like, I think there is still a growth to be had where his growth moment is the acknowledgement of what he is and who he is and that he is a bad guy. And that is a growth moment. It doesn't change the karmic consequence of that. And, you know, whatever your personal beliefs of the afterlife, like, who knows what that does to him? Like, you know, is there an element of peace of just like that is enough of a peace to have before you die, that that's its own form of heaven? Is there an element of like that is an element of forgiveness? Is it just an acceptance?
It seems so nihilistic that he's like, I'm just a bad person. That's all I'll ever be. And so I'm just going to accept that. Like, I don't buy that.
I don't know if it has to be that I'm a bad person. I think it's just I am, like, it is an acceptance of who he is, whatever that, like.
Yeah,
the
but what does that mean, who he is? Do you know what I mean?
He is... he is the insecure child grown up on the streets that did everything he could to prove that he was a big guy
and
made a lot of mistakes.
How has he changed as a result of what he's gone through? Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess that's my question. But here, just
is self acceptance a change?
Yes, I do. I agree. I think it is, I don't think that just means you can be like, well, I'm shitty. I guess I'll just go on being shitty and feeling
okay. I didn't
okay
say
that,
but it's not about, he doesn't have a choice of what he's going to go on and do. Him getting killed is him getting killed.
Okay, then on a plot level, does it need to be like, this was your death, this was your life, and that's, you can't change that? I think we're getting a little too thematic, and I think we're going to figure it out by getting to specifics. Namely, who are the other characters in this thing? This isn't just a cerebral exercise. Like, what are the relationships? Who else is in this movie?
So it feels like you would definitely have his other bounty hunters.
Other
right?
bounty hunters, for
ones
sure,
that,
right?
You know, like you got your IG-88s and 89s and IG-69. God, that's a good one.
IG-69, nice.
The sex robot bounty hunter. That's next time on Story Break. But for right now, you know what I mean? Like, you can have a whole range of the bounty hunters to show that he's not respected in the workplace. It's really the retinue at Jabba's palace. That seems to be the kind of locus for all the various scums.
I mean, you can literally
villainies.
See there's another Rodian here. I'm looking at the scene where, again, Han goes to talk to Jabba, which seems like this would be the crew. So there is like some of Jabba's. Again, what's fun about this is it implies that these guys stuck with Jabba and they're going to go find the spaceship or whatever. Like, they are literally at the Millennium Falcon, like hunting him down. So what would be fun is, like, Greedo's like, oh, I'm not going to follow Jabba around. I have a lead on the fact that, you know, Han Solo's going to the cantina or something. So he splits off from the group. But you have, looking at this thing, there's like a bunch of just surly looking dudes, and there's another Rodian. So you could.
Okay, sure. There's that. Is there, I mean, it's not just other criminals. Like, is there
the barkeep?
There's the barkeep. Is there a space popper? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there a Jiminy Cricket? Again, like, I go back to Groundhog Day where it is like, who is the Annie McDowell? Like, I'm not saying he has to have a romantic interest, but like, there, I feel like there has to be something beyond just.
Where does he live? Does he live in a ship? Does he have a person who takes care of his ship? Does he have like a servant or a slave?
I don't feel like Greedo has enough money to have a ship. You could do, he's trying to make enough money to buy a ship.
I like
Do you
that.
Know what I mean? Like, I want to get off this stupid rock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I feel like he wants Jabba's palace. Like, I feel like in terms of what he wants, I don't think he wants to give up. Like, I like him wanting a ship. I like him wanting Jabba's palace.
No, that's true.
And
that's
he's
true.
Going to, and maybe what he realized is, again, like, in terms of who he is, like, he's given up, like, his past, where he came from, his parents. Like, again, he always thought, again, he's the person's like, I lived in a shithole, you know, sort of thing. It's like, did you, like, your parents loved you or whatever it is.
So his want, it's not enough money to buy a ship. He wants respect, right? And we probably have some sort of objective. Like, Jabba has a sabacc game every night, and I want to get invited to play at the table, mm-hmm. right? Like, I like that, right?
Yes.
So he, yes, I imagine he lives in a dumpy little apartment. He probably has a roommate. Three roommates. Or maybe he lives with like his old super mean Rodian mom who's like, you'll never amount to anything, Greedo. Yeah. Okay. Imagine, is there like a C-3PO that wants to be a gangster too? That's like his sidekick.
Yes. The C stands for crime.
Like, I like, you know, like another shitty criminal or something like that, that, you know, thinks that Greedo, you know, has reprogrammed mm-hmm. to think that he's the toughest gangster in the galaxy mm-hmm. and like, you know, follows him around or something like that.
Oh,
I don't know.
Number two.
Could his relationship.
And then he takes the restraining bolt off of him at the end. Do you know what I mean? They have those bolts that keep them like in your control or whatever. He's like, yo.
Okay, I like something like that, because that's enough of a change to me if he does something kind before he allows himself to die.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, he accepts who he is. It doesn't mean that he can't do one final little change in his life before yes. he goes. Like, he accepts this is the life he lived, and this is the consequence of that life, and he is going to die from Han Solo, and Han Solo has his own destiny and his own life that is going to happen, but it doesn't mean that he can't, yes, let go of a droid or, you know, take off the restraining bolt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How about this? I think one of the defining relationships could be Jabba the Hutt, because it's easy to say Jabba. It's also that Jabba is the character he looks up to. Jabba is the, you know, the mentor who's like, everybody else makes fun of him, but again, he needs, because the fun of that is like, he's just using Greedo. Greedo thinks of him as this great guy. One day I'm going to be at the table and be best friends with Jabba. Like, Jabba's just a charming guy. He knows how to freaking get what he wants from the people that are around him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he looks up to. So like, he's kind of like a twisted mentor character.
I think the opening of the movie is that he has captured a shitty low rent criminal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Jiminy Cricket is his bounty.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it. He finally caught nice. Someone. And like the beginning of the day is him trying to get Jabba to pay the bounty on this mm-hmm. guy. Right. And then the fucking Jabba's like, we don't want that guy anymore. Like, mm-hmm. Well, somebody's got to want him. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like the idea that he has this bounty that he hasn't let go, like some rebel person, right? Mm-hmm. Like a Rebel Alliance resistance
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And he's like, and he's trying to sell them to the Imperials. He's trying to sell them mm-hmm. all over town. He can't get anyone to pick up this guy's bounty. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the good person, right?
That he yes. will eventually let go.
And then, so you
maybe
do the end is
just
he lets
literally
them go.
That person's just going to be thrown to the Rancor. Maybe that's what it is. Like, it's just that's like Jabba's like, you know.
But I like the idea that he doesn't get to sell the person
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Or maybe, I guess the opening of the day is every day he walks them over to Jabba's palace to get his money that he needs for the rest of the day.
Yeah,
right?
For the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Jabba always stiffs him. This is the sign of like lack of respect. Stiffs him and then goes, I don't really need this guy. Like, nobody's paying for him. But here, you know what? I'll give you enough money for a beer today. And then he just kicks the guy in the Rancor pit and he laughs.
This is good.
He goes, that's amusing. Thanks a lot, Greedo. That was an amusing little thing to start my day with, which is watch this guy get eaten.
So then what you could do is you could do that. This is now, okay, this is very good. Okay, so yes, you do that. Yes, his day always starts off, he's trying to sell this, you know, this rebel, we'll say a rebel. It could be a rebel protocol droid if you wanted to do it,
he's
right?
He's got all kinds of memory banks. Like, this. Yeah, I just got decoded.
He's like a strategy droid, right? Like, he's like a tactical nerd, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, like, basically imagine C-3PO, but for the military,
or
something like that. Hear me out. But so yes, you would do, he's trying to fucking pawn this droid off or whatever, and then it never works. And, you know, so basically what you do is he realizes he's stuck, and then he's trying to get other people to help him and no one fucking wants to help him, and then he tells this droid what's up. He's like, mm-hmm. look, we're in this loop, right?
Yeah,
I keep getting it. If you help me kill this guy, mm-hmm. I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'll let you get out of this deal.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're like, okay, cool. And then whether it's a droid, I mean, maybe it should be a person, I don't know, but it's someone who believes in being good and all this other stuff or whatever. And so then you do your third arc journey is like this person helping Greedo, right?
Yeah.
And even saving Greedo's life at one point. And no one's ever given a shit about Greedo before. And he starts to like learn from what is the flower that makes love bloom in us? It's love of others, you know, and assuming we're not a toxic asshole, you know, which Greedo is. So at any rate, Yeah, I could see something like that being really fun.
Yes, and then the final day when he's, again, he's gone through the whole flow of his, like, he's gained respect and realized that respect from people like Jabba is not real respect. There's nothing, like, the only respect that really matters is his own respect, and then there's, like, and then beyond that, it's no longer even respect, it's just, like, acknowledgement of who he is, and in this final day, he's going to do the, he still has some agency, and the agency he has is what he can do with his bounty that he has.
Yes.
And he lets the bounty, he wakes up, and the bounty, what's fun with that is the bounty doesn't know anything about him, he doesn't remember all this stuff, and he just walks him out to Jabba's palace, he's like, where are you going to execute me? He goes, hey, you're free to go. And you know, the guy, again, the guy doesn't even need to, I even like the guy doesn't even give him, like, it's not like there's no relationship with this guy, like,
well, Greedo, they don't, yeah
Greedo has one with him, but the other guy does.
Yeah
so the guy's like, oh, well, yeah, thanks for nothing, asshole, and he just runs off, and it's like, that's not, Greedo just did it because it's the right thing to do, sort of thing. He just walks off or whatever. Can be, he's kind of pointing it, just like,
I wonder if you could make it a Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And no one believes Greedo that it's a Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's, he got the jump on, like, and it's a force sensitive, like, adept or something like that. Just hear me out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you would do, like, they're part of that, how you could kind of hint at what is happening to Greedo through, it's like, the force working in mysterious ways or something like that. I don't know. I was just like, and also in terms of being someone who's, like, you know, like, would be pure of heart or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not that they have a lightsaber or anything. Or you can even just, like, this running gag that Greedo's convinced that this person's a Jedi, and then, like, we're like, no, it's just some fucking, you know, losers. I don't know. Maybe it's too weird.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters what... I think what matters ultimately is that it's kind of a goober who's just willing to go along with the ride and trying to talk his way out of getting killed or whatever. And I like that ultimately because, again, I think the lesson is not about whether or not... I just like that in the end, it's like Greedo decides to let him go. Like I don't know if it matters. Like, I don't know if it needs to be, like, feels
that
like the stakes are
special.
Big.
Yeah. I like it being a protocol droid.
Yeah, it can be a protocol. Yeah. I feel like it's somebody that just wronged Jabba. Like it's, I wouldn't do that. It's like somebody who, like, is a murderer. It's just like somebody that got in, like, whatever.
Well, no,
he took a loan.
I
or...
think I would, I again, like, in terms of the moral compass of Star Wars, I would make it a Rebel Alliance protocol droid.
Yeah.
That has secrets.
Yes.
Right? And is, again, maybe...
The Force module.
Yeah. And again, like, it's a tactical robot, right?
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
Like, it has, it's like how they plan their whatever, right? So then you get why it's useful to him as he's trying to figure out how to kill Han Solo. But it's like, it believes in doing good and all this extra stuff or whatever. And then, like, he's trying to sell it for a secret to a good buyer or whatever, right? Because there's a bounty on this droid, but it keeps getting ripped off.
Yes. It's one of the other droids in the Jawa Sandcrawler or whatever.
Okay, so to walk through that.
Yes.
So you have your opening is we see Greedo. We see sort of Greedo's sort of status quo,
the first
quo,
act
right?
of the five acts is the day, the entire day as it is.
He wakes up in his ramshackle apartment.
I like that he's sleeping, like, again, because when he goes to his palace, it's like he's visiting because he's got this bounty. But, like, they even said, they're like, hey, you know what? Jabba can't see you right now. You know, you can take one of the quarters and, you know, bring your bounty to him tomorrow morning. He's partying tonight or whatever. Like, that's like, you know, he came to bring this bounty to Jabba. And, you know, he's so disrespected and his bounty was so small they didn't even see him that day. Like, Jabba was too busy with his, you know... party or whatever.
Yes, and then
on.
After he gets ripped off selling the droid to his, you know, like, yes, he's in this tiny little dumpy. He got his room is the broom closet in Jabba's palace or whatever, right? And it's like, I mean, he's from, I mean, like, man, that's where he lives or whatever, right? Because he's like, you know, he has a part time job sweeping up at Jabba's palace, you know, to pay his bills as he's trying to be a big time bounty hunter, right? And so then, yes, you do. He finally got a bounty. He's trying to sell it. It doesn't work. And then he hears laughter from the other room and he pokes his head in and it's Jabba talking to all the other bounty hunters about how they're going to punk on Solo today.
Yeah.
Right, and he's
finally like, get Solo.
Yes, and then he's like, fuck, those guys don't respect me. I could
we're
go get Han Solo.
A trap you can't figure out. We'll just wait for him at his ship.
Yeah, they know that he landed, so they're just going to go to his ship.
You know, he loves his ship. I bet you he'll come back to it.
And then one of the times the guy's like, you know what, you just need to be more confident in yourself. Like, you overheard them. Why didn't you stand up and say, hey, I just heard that you guys are going to Han Solo's ship. Can I come with you? So then he tries to do that one of the time. They all just laugh at him.
Okay, so he decides to go kill Han Solo.
Yeah.
He psychs himself up for it. It feels like there's probably more character stuff that goes in there, but you kind of figure that out when you do the movie. He gets killed, right?
Yes.
And he wakes up. Okay, so what is his next... What happens the next day after he... When he wakes up? What's his first time coming
back? He's like, holy shit, what is it in ground? He's probably like, holy shit. Like, at first he doesn't know what happened. Was it a dream?
Yes.
And then he sees that's the same thing going
like,
on.
The same day is happening again. What's going on? And then
it's the first edit from George Lucas is like, this time he's like, wait, this is the same day as that. Oh, I should shoot. And then he tries to shoot first.
Well, no. He realizes it's the same day. He's like, oh, but now I know this time that he's going to shoot me, so I'm going to shoot him first. Right? He's like, ha, 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 perfect, right?
Yes.
And then so he goes and then boom, and he's like, I can't believe it. It's the same day again. What the fuck is happening? It feels like you would need him to try. I mean, you need to establish that he doesn't go shoot Han Solo, right? Like the...
Yes, I feel like he keeps trying to. It feels like naturally he would keep trying to shoot Han Solo, and eventually he would just like walk in and shoot Han Solo, like without saying a word or whatever it is. And maybe he does that.
Then Chewie would shoot him.
Yeah, he shoots Han Solo in the head, and Chewie shoots him right away.
He can never get both.
Yes, it does feel like he was just shot Han Solo.
At what point does this turn? Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, at some point. Well, so Groundhog Day is interesting because it turns because he becomes despondent. Right? There's a really kind of elegant arc to it because it starts off. And it gets to a point where he's just clearly just going on a life of crime. He doesn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, I'm trying to remember what causes the turn in Groundhog's Day. It's very internal, right? At some point,
it's a masterpiece of a movie. There's no external goal at all. Yeah. Like, you know, like the.
Same with his internal goal. He wants to be respected. He wants to be big. He doesn't want to just be respected by Jabba. He wants to be Jabba someday. Like, that's his fucking, again, like, I like him kind of like a Blackadder type character. I feel like he's a guy who dreams big. Like, that's the fun of him. But he's not very good at
his job. He wants to run these mean streets, but he's not good. Yeah.
Hear me out. I think after a couple of times, he'd be like, fuck it. I'm not doing it today.
Yeah.
He can't live with himself. In the version of the world where he's not a cool bounty hunter who tries to kill Han Solo. Yes. So I think you would also see that. You would see a version where he tries to kill Han Solo a couple times and it doesn't work, right? Yes. Like that would be the... like.
Well, he keeps remembering because every time he dies. So I think one day he's like, fuck it. Not doing it. Staying home. And he stays home and he's just sitting in the cell with his bounty.
Well, then he's a loser, right?
Yeah, he's a loser. Not trying to kill Han Solo, he goes to sleep. Yes, and he goes to sleep and wakes up and is back the same day. So that doesn't work either. It's not just his death that causes him to restart. Like, this day is living again and again. And he's not going to fucking be a loser again because that was the worst day of his life when he just sat still doing nothing because he's just so frustrated with himself that he can't kill Han Solo. And then maybe the turning point is he tells the guy in the cell. He's like, not again. The guy's like, what's up? He's like, you don't understand.
What seems to be the problem?
What seems to be the problem? He's like, I fucking lived this day 1,000 times already.
I can't kill
1,053.
The first turn is him opening up to another person, which is he's so frustrated with himself, and then he does nothing, and it's a miserable day of having to sit there with his own thoughts or whatever, and he talks to the droid and explains what's going on, and this is his first, and the droid gives him some sort of advice, like, you know, what's the saying, like, you know, you hit the electrical fence twice, you're crazy. He's like, what are you doing? The same thing every time. Like, you know, you're smarter than that. Like, you seem like you caught me. Like he's surprised.
Sorry, one more
time.
You hit the electrical fence twice, you know, like and you're crazy?
What's that?
I think you're doing a thing like fool me once, shame on you, fool me
twice.
No,
it's like an animal.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yes.
That's, I think, what you're trying to say.
Will, I tracked it. I understand what he's trying to say. Where do you think electric fence
is? Jurassic Park, the electric fence, and there's also a famous animal experiment where it's like they do, like, if you try to eat this food, they get electrocuted. And then kind of the level of intelligence of animals, how often they'll just keep doing it. Because if they're really dumb, they just keep trying to bite the same thing. But animals will stop. Yeah, something like that. I don't know where it came from.
Okay, all right. We're running over. We're all over the place here. We need to fucking bring this thing to bed. Here's what I was going to say is I think one day he's like, you know what, fuck it. I'm not even getting out of bed, right? Yeah. And then his day goes so bad. And so many people are making fun of him and calling him a punk-ass loser that it drives him crazy. He's like, I'm not a loser. I'll show you. I'm going to go kill Han Solo. How about that? And he tools up. He's like, I'm just going to walk her in there and blow Han Solo away. And he tries and he gets his ass kicked again. And then he's frustrated. And now, he asks for help, right? He tells this, you know, droid, like, you know, that stupid loser Han Solo keeps cheating.
Yeah.
I can't beat him, right? And the droid's like, I can help you win.
Yeah.
You just have to let me go, right? Yeah. He's like, I'll let you go after I kill him or whatever, or something like that.
But the droid points out some of his problems, like, hey, you seem just to be stubborn and you just ran in there. Like, why don't you play it smart? Or, like, again, the droid starts asking the questions that your therapist was like, why are you killing Han Solo in the first place? What is it really about? Is there another way you could get this? He's like, you're right. And then he just, instead of going after Han Solo, he just comes in and tries to assassinate Jabba and take his palace, and it doesn't work. He's like, damn it, that didn't work either.
Okay, so the droid is like his therapist. Okay, so yes, that brings us to Act 3. He's like, I think the first time he's like, ha ha ha, Han Solo tried to kill me, and it's a miracle. I'm alive, and I've gone back in time. Like, I'm getting a second chance to prove myself, right? And now he's trying over and over and over again, and he can't do it, right? And then, he's like, I need help. He gets the help of the droid, and now we're watching their zany schemes trying to, you know, make Greedo's day perfect, essentially, right? And so it's kind of like Bedazzled a little bit, where the robot's kind of like, you know, showing him all these different versions of the life he could lead if he, you know,
yes,
you know. So yes, when one, he's like, I'm gonna kill Jabba and I'm gonna take over the palace.
I think it is Eventually, he gets to the point where, again, he is solving the wrong problem. He is solving the problem of just how to kill Han Solo. And at a certain point, he finally succeeds. Like, through, again, all the stuff that's seen, it's like he gets smarter. He thinks about it. He, you know, he does all the stuff. Like, he plans ahead. He becomes a smart bounty hunter, and he kills Han Solo, and it's great. And then he gets everything he wants, but he wakes up the next day and that didn't solve it either.
I think so, yes. And I think the way through it is like he has to, like, it's like, why don't you have a team? He's like, well, none of the other bounty hunters respect me,
yes.
Right? So, like, they won't team up with me to do this, right?
Yes.
And so then it winds up being like his day becomes like this elaborate thing where he convinces all of the, and again, you would even do the turn at one point is the guy, in terms of actually growing towards self-acceptance, is like the other bounty hunters underestimate you. Like, mm-hmm. That's to your advantage because mm-hmm. You have all this knowledge. So, like, it winds up being this elaborate day where, like, he plants all of these things to turn the bounty hunters against each other. Mm-hmm. They all kill each other. He outsmarts all of them and mm-hmm. manages to get the drop on Han Solo when, like, Han Solo walks up to his ship. He gets someone else to come and be Greedo and get killed. Han Solo walks up to the Millennium Falcon and the door lands and it's Greedo and Greedo blasts him, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yes. It's like the coolest perfect murder.
Yes. And then he has his big night celebrating. And then he wakes up the next day.
And there's nothing.
It's
the same thing.
And he's like, no, but I did it. Why do I have to relive this day again?
Yes. I guess he was thinking it was rad at first.
Well, that's what
no
happens
greater
to Groundhog
feeling.
Day, too, is that he continues to do the orgy thing, and even then he gets bored of it over time.
Yeah, there's no greater thing. Like, that night was the greatest night of my life. I guess I'm just going
to
fucking do it
again. I get to relive it over and over and over again. Yes.
And then again, it's like, but why is it the greatest? Because it's just like everybody accepts him, but it's like they don't really. Like, they just like him because he fucking, like, did this thing. Like, nobody really knows who he is. The only person who knows him is this droid, who's the only person who, like, understands him for who he is. And
so I think you do need the droid to know what's happening.
Yeah, I think
what if he's just a force-sensitive droid?
Okay.
You just do that, this droid is imbued with the force.
Yeah, force sensitivity, baby.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's what he's trying to convince. I saw this droid float something with his hand, I swear to God, right?
And the droids can't be force-sensitive.
Like, droids aren't force-sensitive, that's bullshit, right? And so then you would do that. Greedo is, you know, like, this droid essentially gives him what he wants, right?
Yes.
This is essentially the droid's elaborate plan to get himself released, essentially.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to help this guy, and I'm going to show him that he's on this, you know, life of crime. And he realizes this droid is the most powerful Ford user in the universe. Like, this droid is God, basically. So the droid is pointing this stuff out and helping him out all along the way. But then, yes, you would do. He wakes up the next day, and the droid's like, I helped you kill Han Solo. You need to let me go now. Right.
Oh,
and he's like, no, you're part of my plan. I need you. Like, you're a crucial part. I can't let you go. It's like, if I'm stuck here, then I'm stuck here. I'm just going to relive the. So he realizes the droid's the only person he has any kind of meaningful connection with. Right.
Yes. Bear with me. I feel like this all comes together. If it's just like, what is his tough life on the streets? It's like, I feel like, because again, they show me like he was on Rodian, then he's on Tatooine. It doesn't seem like, you know, whether he's an orphan or what. I feel like he just remembers, again, it kind of starts with this like trap. I feel like his dad or somebody was abusive, and like his last words to him were like, you're a punk ass bitch who doesn't care about anything. And his dad died before like anything else was ever said. And that's just been with him his whole life. He's like, I'm not a punk ass bitch. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the, like, everything. And like the low point is the realization, like even the robot would be like, what's the matter? Like, you keep winning, you keep doing this. And he's like, he has it too. He's like, but I am like, it took me, like, I know I'm like, it took what? Like, I did it. Like, I did it. I did it after 1,000 tries, and now I can do it every day. That's great. Like, his dad's not here to see it. So he can't, it doesn't change anything. And two, it's like, he's also honest with himself in this moment. It's like, it's not really like he didn't really do it. Like, he's empty. Like, there's no purpose to what he's done. Now he's just reliving this like hollow day again and again and again. And the droid's like, I can't help you with, like, again, like, that's essentially, it's like, I can't help you with that. Like,
yes.
Like, what do you want from me? I can't fix you. Like, I did the thing. I killed Han Solo for you. You have to let me go.
I think there's an element that he gets to that Sabacc game.
Yeah.
And I think he realizes that all these guys suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And especially because he's learned all of their secret weaknesses in his plan to get all the bounty hunters to betray and outsmart each other and all this other stuff. He realizes that Boba Fett is a loser just like he is. And, you know, even there's a self-loathing to him that even when all of these people now all of a sudden think he's cool, he's kind of disgusted by them too.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the best of the bad people.
Yeah. He makes it to this card game and it sucks.
Yeah.
Right. And so then he's trying to chase this high, but there's nothing, because again, it's wherever you go, there you are. So yes, I like the idea that the droid's like, oh, I can't help you with that.
Yes.
So, you know, let me go. Like, this is the life you wanted. You got the life you wanted. Get me out of here.
Yes. And he's like, there must be something more. What am I missing?
What am I missing? I thought I'd be through from this day. Do you know what I mean? Because he's still trying to break through this day, you know?
Yes, because now even the happiness is miserable.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, again, he wants to break out of it.
And then you can do that. It's like, this is the last day of your life. That's what you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, when your time is up, it's up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially what he learns.
Yes. And you need to, and yes, he needs to find what is the, like, what is the, again, what I like is like,
well, because
like,
I think you do, sorry, hear me, I think you do that. He's like, look, the force works in mysterious ways. Some things you can change, some things you can't. I guess maybe this is one of those things you can't change. Today is the last day of your life.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is where your story ends.
Yes.
You know?
And then it's the question he would have to, is like, why is it letting me, like, what do I need to do for it to be the last day? Like, what is, like, again, what's the meaning of all this? Like, what's the point of this? Like, what's the force doing? Why am I reliving this? Like, am I supposed to be a hero? Am I supposed to be amazing? Like, again, maybe even tries to do a good, he does one day, one stupid day where he's like, runs around and gives people flowers and has a great day. He's like, I guess I'm supposed to be a good
volunteers
person.
At the orphanage.
Doesn't work. It's like, what? And now he just wants to die. And he was like, what is the purpose of all this? And like, the purpose of life is like, I don't know. It's like, I guess this guy, like, haiku or vague. It's just like, he is who he is. Like, that's like, there was like the
oh, that's too nihilistic. It's not that it's,
it's not that he is who he is, because he makes a choice.
Though.
It's acceptance.
You have to accept who you are.
He accepts it's the final day. He accepts that. Because again, I guess all that would be, you could point it to all that is some sort of denial of death. All that is some sort of, whether it's to become a hero or a legacy or be a good person so people remember you. Like, again, he's not letting go of the fact that at some point who he is going to disappear. And again, and that in itself can be nihilistic. And it's like, what more beautiful thing to do than do something that nobody's going to thank you for the last day of your life? Like, he's just going to let this droid go. It's not for anybody else. It's not for anything. It's just because it's the thing that deep down is the sort of thing that he, like, in a different world, this is the sort of thing that Greedo would have done. He's going to do it now.
Okay. Because I like him doing something good.
Yeah.
On the last day.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not just this binary, he takes off the restraining bolt and the guy escapes or whatever. Maybe that's part of it. But then he realized, what if, like, when he goes through it this last time, it is a distraction that is everyone's eyes in the bar are on Greedo confronting Han Solo now, right? And because everyone's paying attention to Greedo confronting Han Solo, they're not looking at, you know, the good thing that's happening because he's doing this, right? And then, like, he dies and, you know, like, he...
There's an implication that, like, he does something that will let Han Solo...
Not Han Solo, like the droid.
No. Oh. What he does is he gives that distraction so the droid can hack a computer, which will transmit to the Death Star, turning on the magnetic pull. Which means that Luke didn't use the Force. It was this droid in Greedo that caused the proton torpedoes to take a 90-degree turn down the exhaust port. QED, welcome to my TED Talk. This is How Star Wars Should Have Been by Freddie Wong. Or alternately, what if the droid was like, let me die?
Hear me out. Something I could see is that you would do that. The droid had to be in that bar for some reason, right? But the bar, we've all seen,
don't like droids.
They don't let droids in, right? So by distracting Han Solo at this critical moment, the droid gets to get into the bar to do the good thing it's been trying to do this entire time, right?
Pass on something.
Pass on the message to the Resistance or whatever, right?
It's called the Rebel Alliance.
The Rebel Alliance. I don't want to make it the Death Star plans. I can't.
Have the Death Star plans.
Yeah.
It could be something small. It doesn't have to be, like, honestly, it could be something.
It's the Death Star update. These are original plans. He has the patch notes for
It could be anything. Han Solo, I mean, fucking Jabba the Hutt has, you know, fucking keeps stealing all the medical supplies that comes to Tatooine. This droid has a fucking formula that he's going to give to a doctor so they can fucking buy it. Like, you can make it just Tatooine based. It doesn't have to be, like, fucking on the scale of, like, this droid's causing. Jabba the Hutt has a clear, doesn't really care about the Empire and the Resistance. He fucking runs Tatooine. Like, this droid's doing something on
you
the Tatooine
do, that's
level.
How Greedo caught the droid. The droid was here because he was trying to pass along some piece of information or some, you know, valuable thing that's going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. The formula for a new vaccine for Tatooine space plague.
For double sun flu.
For double sun flu. And that's the thing. He's like, oh, this droid's got the thing. And they're like, we don't give a shit. It's better for us if it doesn't, you know, whatever. You know, like, guess what? He gets steps. So, yes, you do. He's supposed to give it to his contact, right? Who's meeting him at this bar. But he can't get into the bar because they don't allow droids in, right?
Yes.
So then,
they let C-3PO in the first time. But then when he tries, he's like, I said no droids, and then he shoots any droid that comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yes, then you do. Okay. So yes, then on this last day, Greedo's like, "All right, I'm gonna do something nice for this droid, right? If this is my last day, if this really is my last day in the universe, what do I want to do, right?
Yes.
Like the and then yeah.
What can I do? Yes. What would I actually want to do that has nothing to do with like what should be done or what other people will think of me. Like, what's do I think is good mm-hmm. to do? And like, he made a friend
yeah.
during this time. And he's like, I want to help my friend out.
Yes. It's the first selfless thing Greedo's ever done in yes. his life. Right.
And he goes and he does it.
And McClunky is the secret phrase that lets the droid know.
Oh my God. I totally forgot about McClunky.
And then when he says McClunky, maybe that's McClunky is the name of the droid because the droid's clunky.
Yes, correct.
And McClunky. He says McClunky.
He's
and
trying to say my clunky.
He's trying my clunky.
My poor clunky, my precious clunky. I love
McClunky
you.
McClunky is like the Hey Siri activation phrase McClunky. For this droid. And then the droid realizes, oh shit, Greedo's distracted everybody.
Oh no, we already said McClunky is an acceptance.
I guess so.
Yeah, he accepts himself.
All
right.
What
you can do is a really shiny droid, and the last day it's like the droid's like, I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes you gotta look here. And when he points to his chest, he looks and he's a really shiny droid, so he sees himself in the droid and just looks at himself in the mirror.
Oh it's my like, god, well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, he's like, what would I do? And he's like, I made a friend in here. Like, no, I'm gonna help you out. You know, if this is the last thing I'm gonna do is help out you and you wanted to do something, you're gonna help these people.
And yes, you do the whole time that they're running around over and over and over again, the droid is always trying to help people with space plague.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, why do you care? We're just going to reboot. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
All right.
All right, kind of.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes in the Jabba's Palace elevator pitch.
Does he have an elevator? I guess he does come out.
He has a one-way elevator to the Rancor pit.
Yeah,
so we'll see how it goes.
We don't go down there.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
So hi, everybody. I'm here on Tatooine. I'm outside Jabba's palace because he's the only one on Tatooine with the money to make a big movie. So I'm going to pitch this Greedo film to him, and hopefully he will make it.
Ah,
hello, Sir Jabba. For you guys can't see, but I'm kneeling right now.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ah, ha, ha.
Hi.
Wangi Arnold. Kesa. Elevator pitch.
So, Jabba, I know one of your favorite characters in the Star Wars film is Greedo.
Ah,
yes.
Greedo.
Yes, and like the rest of us, you've been wondering why they put the McClunky in, so we got the answer for you. How would you like that question answered and make $1 billion in international box office?
Ojo wonky?
Yes. All right, so we are following Greedo, our hero Greedo, in a Groundhog's Day type adventure.
Wasa Groundhog Day.
I said, I'm like talking like I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons. I send him to IMDb.
The excellent Jabba the Hutt asks you, what is Groundhog Day?
Ah, yes, Groundhog Day. You're right. I shouldn't have referenced a movie that you've probably not seen on this planet. So Greedo is trying to kill Han Solo, as you know.
Solo!
Solo. And he fails miserably. But he is trying to gain your acceptance. So what happens? The forces that be make him relive the day again and again until he can kill Han Solo. But Greedo sucks, so he just can't do it. He just keeps trying, but he can't do it. So it becomes a story about a desperate bounty hunter trying to figure out what it is to become a great warrior as he keeps trying to destroy Han Solo again and again, huh?
Imara tomte tok maki chisa.
So anyways, it's like a bunch of fun, goofy shit, and then he does eventually kill Han Solo, but it doesn't answer the greater question. As you yourself, Jabba, I'm sure you truly know what makes you happy. Look at you. You're a big, successful man. But Greedo lacks this. Greedo lacks this acceptance. So he tries to find joy in doing good. He tries to find joy in being, you know, just like you, and he finally gets to the table, and even then, he finds nothing. But along the way, he's made friends with this one droid that he caught, that is the only person who knows what's happening. And at the end of the day, before he realizes it's his final day on Earth, he's going to realize the true meaning of life is friendship or something.
Talk a job.
And there's a lot of gunfights, and it's like pretty cool John Wick action. It kind of, you know, there's definitely a lot of parts.
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick. Yes. So, yeah, what do you think?
Jabba wa ninchikoba mushani witani wa uska.
The Excellence Jabba the Hutt would like you to know that he found this pitch most unacceptable.
Oh, no.
But he thinks that you will make great amusement for the Rancor.
No! I'm sorry. Freddy, tell my wife I love her, and Will, I love you too.
We love you too, Matt.
Ah, dang, I guess it's just two of us next week.
You guys were here? You were here the whole time?
I was in disguise as the cool bounty hunter. What about you, Will?
I was the guy in the weird Tusky mask that Lando Calrissian was. I'm Lando.
It's me, Lando, and cool bounty hunter guy.
Hey, you know, it could have been worse, Matt. The last three screenwriters that pitched a movie got frozen in carbonite, so...
All right. Well, guys, that was a
rough elevator pitch.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Is getting fuel frozen carbonite the equivalent of putting like food in the freezer for the Rancor?
Like a TV dinner?
Yeah.
I don't think the frozen carbonite's for the Rancor.
Well, but like they seem to end up there. Anyway, thanks so much everyone for listening this week to Story Break, the Story Break Break, as we react to the great pop culture things that are happening leading up here to Christmas. We're going to be getting back to Heaven Heist soon, but in the meantime, we're just stretching out our story legs, doing some of these stories.
It feels like we're on like episode 4 again, like we're starting back from the beginning.
I really feel like my short break muscles have atrophied quite a bit.
Just like astronauts in space, you got to work out if you want to keep them legs going. And just like astronauts in space, you got to check out our social media. But before we get there, Will, did we get any fan art?
We continue to get fan art for our absurd podcast. We have two pieces of fan fiction this week.
Ooh,
Calais on Twitter has written some fan fiction for the sexiest movie ever. It's got horses, it's got steaminess, it's called Stallion Men, and you can find it on Archive of Our Own. It's also been retweeted on Twitter, so check it out on our Twitter page as well. Amy Johnston gave us the 7th chapter of The Other Side, her adaptation of Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road episode. It's called A Chicken by Any Other Name, this chapter, which I thought was very, very good. Way to go, Amy. Keep it up, we're rooting for you. And that was it on the fan art front this week.
Really quick on the fan fiction. What would you say is the MPAA rating on that fan fiction?
The rating on archiveofourown.org is teen and up audiences. This is according to Calais. Don't worry. It's PG-13. Still very sexy though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the best kind of sexy.
Is it?
I guess. I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know what that means.
According to the tags, it has sexual tension, dancing, secrets, and kissing.
Ooh,
sounds like a pretty good Friday night. Now, social media, that is at RJ Storybreak, Facebook, bit.ly/storybreak, FB, Podcast Network. Podcast Network's at MaximumFun.org, home of the best podcasts, the only podcasts. Head over to MaximumFun.org. Tell them how much you like us and tell them how much you like this podcast network that we're very happy to be proud members of. That's going to do it for us this week. So, until next time, folks. Well, it's next week's Thanksgiving, huh?
Next week's Thanksgiving.
We'll do a turkey episode or something.
Aren't all these episodes turkeys? Am I right?
This one maybe was.
Hey. Thanks again for listening, folks. We'll see you next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Jabba the Wonky. Dojibanga.
My name is Matt Arnold, and research among dogs, rats, chimpanzees, and other apes suggests that these species emit a unique sound in response to pleasure that could be called laughing. Just to answer the question about if creatures laugh or not.
Freddy's salacious grunt voice makes my head want to explode.
Hey, cool shirt.
Oh, this? Thanks. I got it at MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com?
That's strange. I visited MaxFunStore.com a few weeks ago and didn't see it.
That's because they've just launched a ton of new stuff, right in time for the holidays.
Oh, cool.
There's patches, mugs, totes, stickers, even a onesie.
Nice. Those would make great gifts for everyone I know.
Great, because I already got you something from there.
Thanks. Now, excuse me a moment. I need to look up MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
On my smartphone. You know, to see what's new.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with anything from MaxFunStore.com.
MaxFunStore.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.